The 712. Oh yeah, so we've got a little button that's popping up about the meeting being recorded. We'll make sure everybody gets a
Yeah,
chance.
I just entered that, or I just clicked that on because I noticed it wasn't done before, so.
Yeah, we'll want to explain
Am
what that is.
I here? Because I was having trouble. Me
Hi,
too.
Monica, you are
Oh,
here.
good. Yay.
Yay. So everyone that's joining, there's a little button that will pop up that the meeting's being recorded. The reason we record the meeting is we convert this meeting
Devices.
to
That's all right. We'll help.
iPod, so people can hear it at the end of the
Right.
day or the end. We upload it so folks can listen to the recording later. They can't join us here live today. So if you hit that button and can select, "Hey, I got this," we'd appreciate that. Boy, we've got a lot of folks here today, right? That's great. And I'm not hearing anyone else join us, so I would like to get
Tell
this
them, yeah.
show on the road. We have a lot of folks joining us today. If we could go around and do some introductions, I first want to welcome everyone. My name's Kim Wolford. I am the program administrator for the Independent Living Program, and I thank everyone for coming here today. We could go around and do some introductions. Oh, I hear some more folks coming on. This is terrific. Thank you for whoever joined. We're just going to go around and
Tell
do
them you
some
can't get their
introductions.
face. Okay. Can't see them anyway, don't
And because of the feedback here, we'll ask after you make your introduction that you can maybe mute your phones and then you can unmute during the time you talk or comment. That would be great. So, can we start with Julie? Julie, you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Julie Skinner Waters. I am the
You
Independent
can
Living
mute
Secretary.
if you don't have a picture. Okay. Lori.
Hi, I'm Lori Berglund. I am an independent living rehabilitation teacher in Northwest Iowa.
Thank you, Lori. Maggie.
Hi, I'm Maggie Bowman. I am an independent living instructor, and I'll have the whole state of Iowa.
Thank you. Kelsey, I know you're on mute. I'll give you a minute here.
Over here. Am I off mute?
You are off mute,
All right.
yes.
I am Kelsey Hansen. I am an independent living teacher, and I cover Northeast Iowa.
Monica.
Hi, my name's Monica Vineski. I am an independent living teacher, and I service the far west counties along the west border of Iowa.
Thank you, Monica. Alyssa.
Hi, I'm Alyssa. Don't mute yourself. Maggie and I are in the same room, so hold on. There we go. There we go. We just didn't want the feedback to start wailing at us. I'm an independent living teacher, of course, just like everyone else. And I share Polk County with Mark. That's where I'm domiciled. But then I go all the way down to the southern border to Wayne, Appanoose, Davis and Van Buren, and Henry. So I kind of make an L, and then the counties above those too. So that's what I cover.
Thank you, Alyssa. And Quinn, he's out on the road traveling.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Quinn Hobble. I am an independent living rehabilitation teacher. I serve kind of east, I'd say southeast central and southeast Iowa, from Iowa City to Davenport, Davenport down to Burlington, or Davenport up to Clinton.
Thank you, Quinn. And I see that Mark has joined us by phone.
Hi everyone, I'm Mark Edge. I'm an independent living rehabilitation teacher. My service region includes sharing Polk County with Alyssa, and then my counties to the north, farthest north, are Story and Boone, and then I go through down central Iowa down to the Missouri border.
Thank you, Mark. Now I know we have two Emilys with us. First, we'll have Director Emily Wharton introduce herself.
Hello, I'm Emily Wharton. I'm the Director of the Iowa Department for the Blind.
Thank you, Director Wharton. Now we're going, I don't believe I've missed any staff. I know that some of you may wonder, our resource specialist is out today. She's actually on vacation, Marcella Edmonds, and she'll be with us hopefully next quarter to give us an update. Now, let's go ahead and go around. Hopefully the screen won't move on me, and I might need your help if we get any other folks joining, Julie. So bear with me. We'll go around and do guest introductions. So we do have a guest by the name of Emily. Emily, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Emily. I was invited by the department. It's a pleasure getting to know some of the information, and I'm really looking forward to this meeting.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you being here today. And then we have Sean. Sean with an iPhone.
Hi, my name's Sean Mayo, and I formerly worked at the department, and I'm just joining to find out more information about independent living.
Thank you for joining, Sean. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
And then we have Jonathan Ice.
Hello. I'm Jonathan Ice. I'm a has-been rehab teacher with the Iowa Department for the Blind, retired in Cedar Rapids.
And we're glad you joined, Jonathan. I don't think you're ever a has-been. We appreciated the years you were a teacher here in independent living for many, many years. Thank you for joining us today. And then we have Thomas Topping.
Hi, everyone. My name is Thomas Topping, as Kim had mentioned, and I am glad to be here and be part of the meeting.
Okay, and then we have someone, Lynn's phone.
That's you, Jim.
I'm John Springer.
Lynn.
We're using Lynn's phone today, but I'm John Springer. I'm an independent liver and glad to be here.
Oh, and hello to Lynn, and thank you for joining. That one
yeah, Kim. Hi.
That one threw me for a loop.
Well, try to keep you on your toes a little bit.
Well, you sure did on that one. You all will need to come and visit us here in Des Moines, or I need to get out there and see you folks. It's great to have you join us.
Thank you.
Okay, and then we have seven. Yeah. I'm sorry, the numbers are real small here. 712-632, I think. Help me out there, Julie. 2851.
Yeah, that's me. I'm John Hansen. I'm an old member from the Independent Living Action Committee from way back.
John, it's so good to hear your voice. How have you been?
We're rolling right along, so.
Well, that's great. I hope the storms haven't rolled you along.
Yeah, we had plenty of warnings, that's for sure, that the horns were going crazy the couple of times. So.
Yes, they have been. Thank you for being here. I appreciate that. Okay, another phone number, 515-371-0119.
Yes, that's Shad Tiernan.
Well,
just checking in to see what's happening.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay, thank you for coming today. And then we have the 266-7400.
I think that's Carrie Valentine.
Oh, Miss Carrie.
Yes, and I'm glad to be here.
Okay. I feel like it's homecoming week.
Yeah.
Very good. Great. Did I miss anybody?
Hi, Kim. This is Lisa Schneider with the Client Assistance Program.
Okay,
Lisa. I tried to join via Zoom, but I'm having some problems with my computer, so I might try again, but I'll be on the phone just in case.
Okay, Lisa, I think we accidentally labeled you John. That's why I didn't see you. We got you relabeled.
Yes, I relabeled her.
Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate that very much. It's good to see that you're here. Okay, great. Well, we've got a full house. This is awesome. All right. So thank you all again for being here. I'm so glad everybody come. Please spread the news that we have these quarterly IL forums. Right now, what we're going to do is, now that everybody's introduced themselves, we will open this up for public comment. Does anyone care to have any comments that they would like to make at this time? Okay, hearing none at this time, I just want you to know we always allow the public opportunity to make public comment. Just because no public comment's being made right now, you're always welcome to bring anything to our attention at any time. There is always a portion of our meeting where we will leave public comment at the beginning of our meeting. So know that that's available. Having heard nothing at this time, we will move forward to turn this over to Director Emily Wharton so she can give us an update. So Emily, you can take it away.
Thanks, Kim. Just wanted to share a couple of updates from the department overall and leave all the IL details to Kim for her report. Want to talk a little bit about our Iowa Blindness Empowerment and Independence Center. We currently are a little bit low on students. We only have 2 students currently, but we've got a number of staff trainees, and we're really excited because we've got we'll have a number of people starting within the next month, and we have people scheduled out to even begin towards the end of the summer. We have also just signed contracts with the state of Minnesota and the state of Colorado in order to be able to take students from those states when we have enough room. Obviously, students from Iowa will always get first priority, but wanting to be able to offer that to folks up in Minnesota in particular, because they don't necessarily have a structured discovery training center and more available to them. So we want to be able to offer that as an option for them a little bit closer to home than some of the other options across the country.
Center contract for the minute. YATP and LEAD.
Our young adult transition program is finishing up the school year and here pretty shortly. And of course, that means that things turn around pretty quickly and we go right into our LEAP summer program where the youth will come in summer program where they get to learn some skills of blindness, but also get to have a lot of fun too. Getting to do things like going to Adventureland and going camping and going to Sky Zone and all kinds of different activities where they also get to develop their social skills and, you know, cane travel skills, Braille, access technology, et cetera. So really looking forward to having that program start up again this year. The summertime is always a lot of fun because of that, just having the youth around with all their energy. In the month of April is our tradition. We had the Elizabeth Perowski luncheon and workshops where folks who are volunteers primarily with the library come in and do some trainings and then also have a luncheon to celebrate and show our appreciation for the hard work that they do volunteering for us. If folks are ever interested in learning more about volunteering with IDB, we have a really great volunteer newsletter that we put out on a quarterly basis as well. Now you can sign up for that in the same place you can sign up for all announcements through the department. That's on our website. There's a link that will take you to the place where you can sign up for basically all the messages from state government, any kind of Department of State Government, but it'll take you specifically to where you can sign up for IDB announcements. So I encourage folks to do that if you want to keep up on what's going on in the department. Another option that folks have for that, I always like to mention, is our monthly directors forums on the fourth Tuesday of the month from starting at noon. We have a Zoom meeting, kind of like this one here, where I will give some updates to folks about things going on within the agency. And it's an opportunity for folks to ask questions about anything that they want to ask questions about. So that's the information on that always goes out in that newsletter. So I really encourage folks to sign up for that. UCMS. We've been really busy around the agency as a whole, both in independent living and in our vocational rehabilitation programs. We have a new case management system come on board in April. And that's been a years-long process of getting this in place. And it's, you know, whenever you have a new computer system, there's always a lot of bugs to work out. So we were kind of expecting that. So I know it's been challenging for folks, particularly on the IL side, but I really wanted to take a moment to say how much I appreciate everybody's hard work and dedication to learning the new system and putting the effort into finding ways that we can collect better and more accurate data here with the system. They went and changed the way that our federal reports were done a couple of years ago, and our case management system wasn't adapted to that. So we've been kind of piecing those together. And I haven't felt like the data that we've been putting forth was as quite as clear as it could be. And so now that we have all the categories for all the federal reports put into the system, as they're expected to be, I'm excited that, you know, the data will be a little more clear and in our ability to report to the federal government on our funding. So and generating those reports will be a lot easier. And I know it probably doesn't seem that way right now to folks getting used to the system and entering things in, but it will in the long run end up saving folks, particularly Wes Majerus, who works with our data, a lot of time and headaches. Probably keep his hair a lot less gray as we come around to the time reporting for the 70B report and the 704 report, which are the reports we file for the independent living programs. So, but I do want to thank everybody in the IL program for their patience and all their hard work on learning the new system. Presentation table. We have been really getting out there quite a bit over the course of the spring and late winter, and going to a lot of different events and having tables and giving presentations across the state. I know our RIL department has always been known for doing lots and lots of presentations in a lot of communities around the state. We've been focusing in our chief information officer. County Mendenhall has been doing a great job of just getting out there and getting more speaking engagements and finding ways to make it easier for folks to, for everybody to give presentations and spread the good word about IDB and the services that we have. Sometimes we're referred to as the best kept secret in the state of Iowa, and we don't want to be the best kept secret. We want everybody to know about the services that we provide. So really been working a lot on the outreach. We were at the library, had a table at the Ask Resource Centers conference last week. We were at the Spring Family Conference for the Iowa Educational Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired. So I've been doing, you know, a lot of outreach in a lot of different places. Coming up in the summertime, we will be having a table at the Des Moines Farmers Market. That's always really great for library services. It really helps folks to learn about Braille and learn Braille literacy and all the things that our library does and all the things that our department does. So it's a great opportunity to get out there and spread the word about everything that we do. And since April 1st has passed, we are now less than a year away from our 100th anniversary as an agency. So next April, 2025, we will be celebrating 100 years of serving the state of Iowa and Blind Iowans. So we're working hard on getting things planned to do celebrations of that centennial. And so hoping to have more information to share out to folks as the year goes along, but really excited about, you know, that great milestone and really excited to be able to celebrate it and also look forward to the next 100 years and how we can grow and innovate over that time. Centennial. So that is pretty much what I have on my list of notes here. Does anybody have any questions?
Quinn?
Hey, Quinn.
Hey, Emily. I just wanted to say, as a former graduate of Blind Ink up in Minnesota, how grateful I am that we have been able to open our doors to clients in, you know, greater Minnesota, but as well as clients in the Twin Cities. They are going to benefit immensely from having access to the Department for the Blind. And I'm really happy that we were able to forge a partnership with the state of Minnesota. And that, yeah. That's so good to hear.
Yeah, it's really good that they'll be able to continue to have informed choice, you know, options that are more local there for them as well. So that is, yeah, we're really happy about that. We're really not happy about the circumstances that kind of led to this, but, you know, happy that we could be able to, you know, work out this contract.
Emily, can you speak briefly about the circumstances you just mentioned that led to this? And this is Lisa Schneider with CAP.
Yeah, Blind Incorporated, Blind Dismembering into Dimensions. It's a nonprofit training center, Structure Discovery Training Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Been there for more than 30 years. Closed earlier this year. It was rather unfortunate. I'd worked there for 15 years, and as a number of folks have who worked this agency, and folks have a lot of ties to there. So that's why I was saying it was really unfortunate. It was very sad to see that organization go, near and dear to my heart.
That is sad. I'm sorry to hear that, but it's wonderful to hear that IDB can step in and help. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure. No problem. Any other questions?
I'm trying to get in there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. This is Jonathan here. Colorado was part of that. What was the circumstance with Colorado?
Oh, well, just because we had, there was a court request mm-hmm. for it. I don't think I can really say much more than that.
Okay.
You know, we're really big proponents of, you know, informed choice. So we want to make sure that, you know, if anybody would be wanting to come to our center, we'd, you know, work it out with whatever state we need to work it out with to be able to provide that. Or assuming we have the space and aren't, you know, full up with Iowans. We would love to be full up with Iowans. So that would be the ideal situation. So, but we definitely want to, you know, when we have the space, the more the merrier.
Any other questions?
I have another question. At the support group in Cedar Rapids recently, we had a person who's she's 33 years old, showed up, and she just lost almost all of her vision very suddenly. She's not looking to for vocational rehabilitation, but she definitely needs independent living training. My understanding is that currently there's very limited services available to people under 55 for independent living. Am I correctly informed on that, or what's the situation there?
We've had to, because, and at the board meeting about a year ago in June, we had to have a conversation and pass a policy that we are creating a different service model to serve folks who are considered, who require independent living services are under the age of 55. The grant that we have to serve folks in that particular population is exceedingly small. We get right around $64,000 a year. And it is just not enough to sustain sending out teachers individually to people's homes the way that we do with the Older Blind Program. To be perfectly honest, the amount of money we get on our federal grant for the Older Blind Program, which is right around $300,000, isn't particularly great to sustain that service model either. But, you know, we're making it work. We've had to put considerable amounts of state dollars in to support independent living. And Jonathan, you've been around for a long time. You know, it's always been the case, right? Mm-hmm. But we also have been supplementing over the past couple of years with our Social Security reimbursement funds as well, supporting the independent program. As you know, that it's not a stable source of income. It can go up, it can go down. And so just where we're at, we really can't go into folks' homes and do the kind of, you know, individualized services that with folks who are not, of a, you know, older blind that we would. And so we really are working but we are going to be working on, and this is, you know, Maggie's big job and focus is orchestrating small group trainings and different opportunities for folks in that category to be able to participate in independent living training. So we'd be doing a lot of community-based trainings and small group trainings that those folks are going to be able to participate in, as well as our older blind folks as well. But just making sure that we are creating those opportunities as much as we can, trying to spread those dollars as far as we can. And really, and quite honestly, it is quite helpful too to get folks out into the community and engaging with other folks. I'm really glad that individual is able to come to your support group and, you know, participate there, because we know how much importance peer support is, you know, and so really encouraging that peer support and being able to, you know, really take the limited amount of funding that we have and stretch it as much as we can by, you know, doing more small group trainings for folks.
But if she is not, if there's not, there's not room to take her in as a case, and I might be wrong in my understanding there, what options does she have to get any kind of training?
Yeah, so she can participate in the small group trainings.
But doesn't a person have to have a case open with the Department for the Blind to be eligible for that?
Yeah, she can open a case.
Okay. I just don't know what all the rigmarole is. I know back in the way back, we were prevented from serving such people because it was supposed to go to the independent living centers, which historically have not had any significant blind services. And then somewhere about 2005 or so, the independent living centers ceded that to the Department for the Blind because they realized they couldn't really cover that. And for some years anyway, we were just handling it through the independent living program.
Yeah, and I won't go too big into that because I don't want to step on Kim's toes in her presentation. But yeah, so you're looking at, yeah, and so as part of that, but changeover that was around 2005, that's where that $64,000 came in, that we got that portion of Part B funds and were able to provide those services. But, you know, that just really doesn't go very far.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it doesn't even pay for a whole staff member, and that's supposed to cover the entire state. So we really, you know, and we're trying to, you know, we do spend a lot of state dollars and a lot of SSA dollars to supplement this still, but we do have to limit it to small group trainings rather than the individualized in-home services that we provide to older blind clients. But they certain, but the individual or an individual, you know, in that situation certainly should apply. And you encourage them. And a lot of times folks maybe don't think that they want VR services or don't think that they can work. We know, particularly when you first lose your sight, it's very, it's a huge shock and huge change. And so it's very scary. And you think, you know, there's no way I could work. I can't imagine what I could be able to do. But, you know, once, you know, developing the skills and the self-confidence and the positive attitude, as we all know, then they, then the career possibilities are limitless. So, you know, hoping that, you know, a lot of individuals will be able to, you know, come to understand that and be able to take part of the VR program in order, because just quite honestly, that's, we have significantly more funding there. That's where our agency is primarily funded, is through the federal VR program. So,
so is the department still going to be open for those who are much younger, like myself?
Yeah, like I said, we, you know, we encourage folks to be able to, you know, to consider employment, consider going to work, and, you know, participating in the VR program. For folks who are in independent living and under the age of 55, you know, we offer small group trainings, just not in-home trainings.
And if I can just add one thing to that, kind of springboard from that to clarify for Jonathan's benefit too, and everyone on the call, Maggie, who is currently in training, she's just about done, but she's still undergoing training in the field, Jonathan. She will be able to make like one home visit, and she'll go out and she'll go into the person's home and discuss services with them and, you know, do the general visit and assess and discuss the program and services, make eligibility, and help to develop that plan as well. But as Emily said, overall, part of the whole thing comes down to the funding. And you know, if the person wants to participate in group training, we do want them to participate. We also have other resources. And I know, you know, again, Emily's giving you the overview, but there are other resources that we can use, you know, like using our communities, using community resources. And we also have looked at partnering and can partner with, you might remember Ross Popeter. He is now with Outlook Enrichment, and they have services that will not duplicate what we offer, but they do serve Iowans here who are blind. And so there may be something that we don't offer that they offer, and they can pick up and offer a person something in their home and do something weekly in terms of training. So that those are conversations that Maggie would have with that person as well, to connect them again with the community and with other services. It would be no different than back in the day when we all worked and also suggested Hadley Services for the Blind. So, but Maggie will be putting together community-based trainings and discussing those options with individuals that she works with. And currently we have 22 individuals who are under the age of 55 that we're serving. And one of them, I think, Kelsey, is she 13 or 14, one of the 22?
She is 12.
Oh, sorry, 12. I stand corrected on that. So I hope that helps just a little bit more. But we'd love to have more money. That would be ideal, because we'd love to be able to go back and do it the way we used to do it. We know that is always ideal, but we just, you know, the money is just not there. Any other questions for Director Wharton? Those are great questions. Thank you for bringing them to us. We appreciate that very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So not hearing anything else, I will go ahead and jump into what I'd like to share with everyone. So one of the first things that I'd like to remind everybody is that May is Older Americans Month. Some of the fun facts about this is that Older Americans Month was established in 1963. There are about 17 million living Americans who have reached now their 65th birthday. I'm one of those approaching that 17 million. Most of us don't know this, but about one third of older Americans live in poverty. And there are fewer and fewer programs that are meeting those needs. And I'm going to be addressing that here in a little bit because I'm on a multi-sector program for aging Iowans. Historically, Older Americans Month has been a time to acknowledge the contributions of past and current older persons to our country, particularly those who defended our country. Now they've kind of changed that up a little bit, but Older American Month is typically celebrated across the country through ceremonies, events, fairs, and other activities. So I do request, if you have an interest or wish to pay tribute to someone in a way, that you celebrate those who are, and I'm going to drop it to age 55 or older, since we serve older Iowans who are blind, 55 and older, please do something within your community to benefit local programs such as your centers, senior centers, or just any way to serve an older adult that helps to commemorate this May Older Americans Month, please. One thing, and Director Wharton, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, I didn't hear it, so I want to bring it up here, is that we did meet at the request of the State Independent Living Council, SILC. Iowa Vocational Rehabilitation, IVRS, had submitted their, termination to be SILC's DSE, and DSE stands for Designated State Entity, at the end of their state plan, which is coming up in 2025. They are actually, Iowa Vocational Rehabilitation Services is merging and focusing more on the employment aspect of things. They submitted their letter of termination to manage the financial portion of the DSD funding that comes in for the Part B and Part C funds. They submitted that letter to the chair of the SILC, Marie Yagorek. And I can't remember the date that was submitted. It's been probably a month or a month and a half ago. And at the same time, Iowa Vocational Rehabilitation, my understanding was, had a free conversation with Health and Human Services, and then who was had an interest in being a DSE for Silk, and then they mentioned this to the Silk chair. We learned of this as well, and we had previously been Silk's DSE and also submitted our letter of interest to be the DSE, just offering options, and not to say that that they're interested, because we don't know, but they reached out to us and they've had a first meeting with us regarding their process. I know they're in progress right now for writing their state plan. And so they're working on that 2025 through 2027 plan. When that plan is ready, we will make public comment on it. We will review it and make public comment if we have any. They're still in progress of reviewing applications for an executive director. They've been undergoing a lot of training. The Silk has been undergoing a lot of training for their board members and executive committee. And so there's been a lot of things going on there. Just to give you a sense of what a DSE, designated state entity's responsibilities would be, is according to Title 45, Subtitle B, Chapter 12, Subchapter C, which Subchapter C deals with the centers, Part 1329 of Subpart B, which Subpart B deals with states, the funding that we receive. The role of a DSE is to receive and account for and disperse the funds by the state under the subparts, and that is the Subpart B and Subpart C under Section 723 of the Act. That would be the Rehabilitation Act, based on how that bill, meaning the state independent living plan and how it's written. And so whomever the Silk decides, and the Silk actually has to allow the center directors to vote on it, and 60% must be in agreement. So whomever they choose as the DSE, it's completely up to them. They would have to administer then these funds accordingly. So they have a lot of balls up in the air that they have to manage. They have to complete their plan. They have to have a public comment time. So that includes all of you who are on here who have an interest when it goes public to review their plan. Feel free to make that public comment on the plan. Because they will be reviewing those comments. They have to still hire their executive director. And then whoever they choose to be the DSE is whomever will be administering those funds out. So that's the state of affairs kind of in a nutshell. And I don't know if Director Wharton wants to add anything else here later at the end of my report. Moving on, I'm involved still with several upcoming meetings related to the multi-sector planning on aging. We have now split up into committees. I was appointed by Director Wharton. I did have the first meeting in relationship to an overview meeting, and there were 44 of us about who participated. As a reminder, the steering committee came up with a vision, and that vision of the multi-sector planning on aging was this: all Iowans have the option, all Iowans have options and services they need to age in their community of choice with dignity and high quality of life. Now, since that first meeting, they had asked us to choose one of five of the priorities, or let's see, I'm trying to think of sectors, I guess, is what I'd like to call them. And the five included that I could choose from: aging in place, which means choosing where I want to live, how I want support and need to do that as I age. Keeping in mind, this is for all, we're representing all Iowans who want to age in place. B was aging with economic security, being financially secure as I age in place. C, living better longer, meaning having good health as I age. D, supporting caregivers and having community support to assist others as they age. Or E, engaging all ages and abilities, and that meant staying active and social within my community as I age. So I had to choose one of these domains and work with a group. And so the domain I chose, and it seemed like I was going to be the only one in that domain because everybody was picking everything else. And then finally, we did get some people who were interested. I picked B, domain B, which was aging with economic security. And the reason I picked that one was because as we age, not everybody, it seems from things that I've read up on, you know, not everybody has some of the advantages as others to have that financial security in place. And sometimes things happen to us as we age in place, and we don't think about disability, we don't think about medical crises and spending through our money and then needing to flip over to Medicaid. And Medicaid is a really unique creature where you have to use all of your resources before you can get onto Medicaid to move into certain things and use certain services they offer to get help. And that really kind of intrigued me, because people here have a lot of constitution and they really want to stand on their own two feet. So I was very interested in hearing the conversations around that. So we have a good group. The person that's been appointed works actually in long-term services and supports. She's a policy program manager with Iowa Medicaid, and she was appointed by HHS, Health and Human Services, to facilitate our conversations. So we have about three or four additional meetings scheduled with her under this domain. But I will tell you, it was very interesting. Our first meeting, which I think lasted about an hour and 15 minutes, there was a lot of discussion around the title, Multi-Sector Planning on Aging, because nobody has actually put in the word disabilities. And the conversation stemmed from that, because we have people from the head injury community. We have people from the, you know, DD, developmental disability community. We have, of course, us from the blind community. We have people from different sectors in there. And even though it does state in the mission, this is for all people who are aging, everybody seems to be concerned about the word aging it's all about following the money, and will people with disabilities be left out if it comes to a funding shortage, or so there's a lot of discussion around that, and I'm really not sure how all of this is going to what's going to happen. So it's going to be an interesting discussion, and I'm hoping we'll be able to get the priorities done in short, but that's the domain I picked, and I've got about 3 or 4 more meetings, and I'm hoping we can get done with what we have. But I might also reach out and pick some of your brains just to try to get information and see what you think about things too, because it really is a very challenging domain, and oh golly, it's going to be interesting. So that's what I have to report for now on that. We do have an independent living integration coming up. It's been scheduled for June 24th, which starts on a Monday. Folks will start coming in on a Sunday. It will conclude on Friday, June 28th. I believe just of recent, we're just starting to pull together our planning committees with our partner through the Iowa Blindness Empowerment and Independence Center, Carly and her team. We generally can host 6, which includes a mentor, someone who previously attended. The training is available to anyone who is under the age of 55, who's an adult, and or older than 55. We offer a variety of training opportunities, interactions with our student centers, connections with local consumer groups, who, by the way, have very generously sponsored one evening event each. We want to thank them and let them know how much we appreciate the interaction and their sponsorship. We do have another one scheduled here later in the fall. So we'll bring more information to you after that training concludes at our next IO Forum. We just concluded, I think, as our director had mentioned, the new staff seminar, which took place in April. Maggie attended that training. Alyssa, thank you for helping. We appreciate you sharing what a day is like here in Isle. Mark has previously helped, as has Quinn, and some of the rest of you have helped me out, and I do appreciate that very much. These opportunities for staff to come in and learn is really great. We get great questions. There's great participation. We also then follow up after these trainings. And I know I just sent something to Alyssa today, because folks after these trainings, they're coming out of our center, graduating, and new staff are needing their having to meet their educational requirements. So I'm sending out just to say today, hey, we have a shadow opportunity for you. Okay. Do you have some time to fit new staff, whoever it is, into the schedule so they can go out with you and watch how it actually works now? So that keeps us busy. As Emily mentioned, we are constantly busy here with Tyler training. We are moving forward and learning every day and learning workarounds, as well as some things that do need fixed. But Tyler has been responsive, and we're very happy that they're working to respond to what needs fixed in the system. We have a division meeting tomorrow where we're going to be working in our Tyler system as a team, and we will be together on Friday for all staff meetings. My staff will be giving an update next, and so unless Director Wharton has anything to follow up on what I have shared, I would like to open it up for any public questions.
Well, Kim, yeah, I think you covered it really well. So I wasn't going to add anything to what you were saying about the silk and the DSE. So,
okay. Thank you.
This is Carrie.
Oh. Yes, Carrie.
I guess I need some help from all of you. What can the blind community help out as far as funding? What can we do to help create more money, basically?
Well, I mean, one opportunity that folks will have is, I mean, we just finished up a legislative session. You know, and we'll be starting another one in the fall, and we will be, a lot of things can change between here and there. I would like to see us ask for an increase in state funding in order to dedicate more money to the independent living program. But, like I said, a lot of things can change between here and there. And a lot of that depends on, whether or not how well that ask is received. It depends a lot on the state of the economy at the time and whatnot, and a number of other factors. But if that were to be something that was put forth in the governor's budget, that would be something that when the legislature hears from consumers, they are very, particularly those who live in their area, they are very much more likely to respond and do so positively. So that can always make a big difference when looking at state funding. A lot of other sources of funding are a little more challenging to get. They're very time consuming. Anybody who would like to spend some time writing some grants, I'm sure Kim would love that. but that's not an easy thing to do either. I quite honestly advocating on the national level for an increase in both Part B funding, and particularly the older individuals who are blind funding on the national level, that's something that definitely needs to improve. That's been going down ever since I've been director. That's over the past 7 years. And I think it's been going down probably at least since I've been at the department for 10 years. Going away, not keeping up with inflation at all. Going in the opposite direction. So that's something I really think the federal funding is, we can continue to ask for state funding, but until the federal piece gets solved, we're still always going to be kind of behind the eight ball, truthfully.
And if I can add one more thing to what our director has said, not only is the federal funding going in the opposite direction, but I don't disagree with what the expectations are on the program measurements, but every year the measurements increase. So our performance measurements have been great. Last year we met our target with all but one, and that was our cost for serving each individual. Our cost per individual was around $2,200 for our older blind program, which is still better than what it costs for someone to go to a nursing home, which is about $8,000 a month. However, they want us to meet like around $900, $925 for each individual to deliver services. All other measures, they're wanting us to be up around 92 to 95% on our measures. Now, we met our measures, but they're asking us to do it on less money.
Quite honest, I hope we never meet that measure, because in order to meet that measure, we would really have to downgrade our quality of services. Quite sufficient. I don't know how anybody does. I can't believe that they are providing anything even close to comprehensive services if they're meeting that measure. And so, quite honestly, I would be very happy if our agency never met that measure.
Yeah, and I've talked with at least one other program manager out in the West, and she and I talked extensively, and she said the same thing. She'd like to know how they're doing it, because her director said the same thing as you.
When you're talking about they, who are they?
Rehabilitation Service Administration.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Jonathan.
Oh, and just kind of a side note, while I'm thinking of it, there is on our website a link to a document called Overviewing of Funding and Spending. If folks are really curious about how our funding streams work, I tried to break it down as simply as I could. It gets real complex, I gotta say, and sometimes I'm really challenged to follow all the threads myself. But I tried to break it down as clearly as I could for folks. So maybe some reading through that can help folks if you're interested in kind of understanding how the federal and state and all of our funding sources kind of work together.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me just ask one more time, one more call. Any other questions? Otherwise, I'll move us along and get some teachers to give us a short little report. Don't want to miss anybody. Okay. Thank you very much for the questions. I appreciate it. Lori, do you want to go ahead and take us away first, please?
Sure. Thank you, Kim. Good afternoon again, everyone. I'm Lori, and I am domiciled in Northwest Iowa. It's been very busy. As Emily and Kim have talked about, we've been working on our new case management system. And so in addition to that, I have clients who have had some really big successes. So Kim mentioned our March integration. I had a client who attended that. When I saw her after integration, she confessed that she was really nervous, but then she said she was so happy that she came, and she recommends the experience to everyone. So I have another client who's coming in June, and then six more who are interested in possibly coming at some point during their training. So I've got 9 new clients since we last did our podcast. And 5 of my clients have successfully completed their plans. And I've got 3 more who are on track to do the same. Emily mentioned CIO Connie Mendenhall. She and I co-hosted an information booth in Cerro Gordo County a couple of weeks ago. It's a SALT forum, so it's seniors and law enforcement, and it's a program. We were able to connect with about 115 people, so that was fun to share information about the department and get the word out about the things that we do. I was able to do an in-service in Mason City for Mercy One Health, and then I'll be in Clarion later this month at an independent living community to speak to them. I have several clients in the Fort Dodge area who are working to start a support group. So I am helping them get connected and kind of get that going for them. And just, you know, enjoying working with my clients, and especially with nicer weather coming along, there shouldn't be any travel issues like we have in the winter. So looking forward to it. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Lori. Maggie.
Hi, everyone. So I am Maggie. I am still in my training at the moment, but just a couple weeks ago, I finished my training in the center. It was a lot of fun. I learned the Braille code, learned how to travel. I did a drop-off. I ended up somewhere on the north side of Des Moines and kind of had fun with that and took a bus that broke down and then had to find another bus to get back to IDB. I also completed 2 projects, and those were a cutting board and then a bed for my dog. And I made a meal for a few different people. And so I completed that a couple weeks ago. And last week I was shadowing Quinn. That was a lot of fun. I got to learn a lot. I saw a lot with technology, both iPhone and Android, which Android is a whole nother world for me. So it's good to have been able to see some of that. And I saw Quinn teach some travel, which was really cool to see, and get to know some of the clients. And so I'm having a lot of fun learning, and I'm really excited to be finished with my training here in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you, Maggie. We're really glad to have you on board. All right, next up, we have Mark.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Mark Edge, and again, my service region, my counties farthest to the north are Boone and Story, and they go down to, through Polk County down to the Missouri border. Applications have been very, very steady to busy. I think in the last 2 months, I've received 12 applications. Since we last met, I've closed 4 cases as successfully rehabilitated. I did a speaking engagement on February 26th for the Perry Lions Club. And next week on May 14th, I will do a presentation at the Osceola Chamber of Commerce. And a VR counselor, Sarah Babler Hall, will also be presenting with me. And that is being promoted by the Osceola Public Library. I'm planning to do a community-based training in June in Waukee. I have about 3 or 4 clients there in Waukee, and the focus of that community-based training will be on learning to use the public transit system in Dallas County and how to use a shopper's assistant. And then I think we'll have a restaurant experience, dining under learning shades to see how things go that way. I had one participant in the March IL integration week. He was a younger blind person. And I had one client lined up to attend the June IL integration week. Unfortunately, yesterday she told me that she would not be able to participate in that. But I myself will be working that week among some other staff. Yesterday, I attended a Lifelong Links meeting here in Des Moines. Lifelong Links is an advisory board made up of community service advisors, and it's facilitated by our local area agency on aging. And we received a training yesterday by Dementia Friends Iowa. And it was about a 30-minute training just to teach us more about dementia and how to work with people with dementia. And every area agency in Iowa has one staff person that is able to provide training to any group or organization that would like to receive that. So if anyone's interested, just reach out to your local area agency on aging and ask for that. Let's see. The week of May 20th, Maggie will be shadowing me. So I'm looking forward to having her travel with me. And then I'll go ahead and give updates on my support groups in my service region. The Ames Low Vision support group meets the third Wednesday of every month. And next week they are having a program presented by a representative from their public transit system, SkyRide. And I think they're even bringing a bus in for the folks there. And then in Polk County, the Blindness Empowerment Support Team, otherwise known as BEST of Greater Des Moines, their meeting is next week on Thursday, the third Thursday of every month at Park Fair Mall. And they are having a program on taxi service here in Des Moines. I believe they have a representative from the taxi company coming to speak to their group. So I have about three to four brand new clients that will hopefully be attending their first support group meeting next week. I think that is about it for me. So does anyone have any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Quinn. When it's on mute,
good, so good afternoon, everybody. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So again, my name is Quinn Hobble, and I serve my area is kind of strange. I took some of Susan's areas as well. So my primary service area is kind of east of Iowa City, over to Davenport, Davenport south to Burlington and north to Clinton. Again, that's a pretty rough draft of my area. Let's see. I'll be honest, referrals in my area have been a bit slower this quarter, and I've been taking that time to work on outreach. A couple weeks ago, I did a presentation for an assisted living facility over in Davenport, and I'm hoping to get some referrals from that facility. Here coming up next week, actually, I will be partnering with Alyssa Munsterman, and we will be working the, I believe it's called the Polk County Senior Fair out at the fairgrounds. And we will have a booth and be able to provide information and just be able to, again, get the word out, because I don't want IL to be the best kept secret. I don't want us to be a secret at all. One of the things that I'm really proud to say is that last week, a client, and I can't take all the credit, Susan did a lot with this client. I just helped at the end, but I met with a client and they told me, I want to work. This is a younger blind, and they said, I want to do something. And I was like, okay. I talked to them, you know, about VR services. You know, reassured them. They're like, what if I don't like it? Can I come back to IL? I was like, absolutely. You can come back to us at any time. After discussing it with them and, you know, providing them as much information as I could to allow them to have the informed choice, they decided that they want to switch to VR, which you'd think as an IL teacher, I wouldn't be that excited about it, but honestly, it almost makes me cry. I think it's amazing. And I would support any one of my clients switching to VR any day because that means they want to work. So I'm really proud of that client. I'm very, very proud of that client. Let me think here. I had the opportunity in March to work the integration. I didn't have anybody come to that integration. As I said, my numbers are a bit down right now. I'm around 22 individuals. And a lot of the people I work with are in assisted living and have, some of them have some pretty severe memory challenges that, you know, have required me to do a little more extensive work and make it so that my number of closures this quarter has been down. Just because I've been spending, you know, some extra time with people, meeting with them a little more frequently since I've had more time. But anyway, like I was saying, in March, I got to work the integration and I got to teach cane travel, which as a certified cane travel instructor is like my dream world. I absolutely loved seeing the clients that were there go from, some of them terrified that first day to take that first step or to find the steps, to at the end of the week being like, I can find these. And it was such a great experience. The end of February, Alyssa, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was the end of February. Alyssa and I did ACBT. And I brought one client over, and this gentleman absolutely enjoyed it. He told me afterward that he didn't feel as isolated. Getting to meet other blind people was amazing for him. And I find that with a lot of people that do the CBTs. They gain the skills, yes. But honestly, it's not the skills that are the most important to them. It's the community. It's not feeling so isolated anymore. So that's been really good. Over the next couple months, I look forward to, you know, reaching out to more assisted living facilities within my territory and doing presentations. Does anyone have any questions for me? I may have missed something. I apologize, Kim, if I did.
Hey, thank you, Quinn, for that report. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Kim, and thank you for all the support you give us.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Quinn, for doing, all of you do a great, great work here. So I appreciate all of you. Kelsey.
I am Kelsey Hansen, and again, I'm in the Northeast Iowa corner. I have been busy. I've been focusing a lot on seeing clients as much as possible. I was before the last quarter pretty busy with some other projects, so that's been kind of fun, just getting to make sure I see all my clients. I worked the integration, part of the integration in March. One of my clients did attend that, and they will be coming back in June as the mentor, and they're very, very excited. I'll also have two other clients possibly coming in June as well, who are interested in coming in June. And then I'm looking at planning a CBT, a group training, in the Cedar Rapids area, hopefully for June or July. And possibly we discussed just very briefly, maybe having Maggie join, because she might have some clients in that area. I did have a client request that it be travel focused. So that's going to be pretty fun. I have quite a number of clients. I have, believe 37 clients last I checked. And so a few of those have, I've had a few, new applicants since the last quarterly meeting, and a few successful closures. And that's, I think that's about it as far as my report. Is there any questions?
Thank you, Kelsey. Right,
thank you.
Appreciate that. Alyssa. Did I have you on the list already? I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Maggie and I were just playing musical microphones again.
Okay.
So I'm Alyssa Munsterman, and I share Polk County with Mark, like he said, and then I work my way down to the southern border, going through Warren, Lucas, and Wayne, and then about two counties deep going over from Lucas and Wayne, those two rows deep, and then to Henry. It's kind of like an L. That's kind of where I cover. And since last meeting we had, I've had three successful closures, and I have five amendments to do. And then, like Mark said, it's kind of been steady applications, and most of my applications have been the younger blind, which will be in Maggie's quadrant of the state, all over the place. And so, yeah, there's some up in Cedar Rapids area, so that'll be great for Kelsey and Maggie to collaborate. Let's see. Yeah, like Kim said, I attended the new staff seminar and talked about what day in the life of IL and what we can do and help our clients learn with training. I spoke just yesterday. I went in place of Connie and Monica. Technically, it's Monica's territory, Atlantic, Iowa, which is Cass County, which is Monica's, but she wasn't able to attend either. So I took the reins and went ahead and did the public library speaking. It's to a group of retirees that kind of meet, and most of those people actually have some sort of low vision or macular degeneration of some sort. So they had a lot of good questions. It was a really good community event. And then, of course, next week we'll be doing Senior Fest with Quinn. And that is next Wednesday, the 15th, from 9 to 1:30 p.m. And it'll be in the Varied Industries building. I believe there's a little lunch provided for those that actually go as well, even for the attendees, not just the people that are attending the booth. My guess is it's going to be sack lunch kind of thing. And I've been working on developing the newer service model for the Younger Blind program for Maggie. So just trying to figure out exactly how we should be going about it. Maybe some alternative trainings, like Kim said, Ross, using the outreach. So we're just kind of working on developing all that. I did help with the last senior integration, and I, on Wednesday night, the night that we always go to take our clients out to eat, we went to an Italian restaurant that's like a little mom and pop place, and it was great. They loved it. They had a great time. They just think it's like camp when they go to senior integration. They said at the end, it's always the best time ever. So they were a good little group, mighty but small, but great. And then, of course, the end of this month, Jody, she's a youth program teacher. She's going to be shadowing me for half a day or so, going out and seeing clients. And then I'm working on trying to get a hold of some of the counties that I cover, because I know they have in county fairs like senior days. Because I know when I was in 4-H and there was always Adams County had a senior day where they'd have booth of different things and services for older folks. So I was going to try to get a hold of some of them to see if they have a certain day they do that and see if I could possibly have a booth to get the word out about IL. And then, of course, the library as well as VR. And then there's a person I have as a client that was formerly Susan's client, wants to start a support group there in Ottumwa area. So we're kind of working on that, trying to figure that out. So that's kind of what I've been up to lately.
Any questions for Alyssa? Okay, we have Monica and then Julie, and I think Julie got her audio fixed possibly. So Monica?
Hello, I'm Monica Vineski, and I serve, like I said earlier, the far west counties of Iowa, from the Missouri to the Minnesota to the Missouri border, roughly two counties deep in most places. And along with Quinn and Julie and Kim and I, we completed yesterday our mental health first aid training, and that's why I wasn't able to go to the event at the library in Atlantic that Alyssa just talked about, because I was there. And my applications and closings have been pretty steady. I think since last quarter meeting, I've gotten about four or five applications, and I've got about four or five closures. So it's pretty steady. I did a speaking at the PACE program in Sioux City last month. And literally after I learned what they did, I made a referral to them about an hour later. And since then, it sounds like to me, they have a referral for us, after I shared what the Department for the Blind and Independent Living Services were all about. So that's in progress. They were really an impressive place, I thought, because they have a comprehensive, healthcare approach to an individual where they can go and see their primary physicians there, along with specialists, physical therapy. They provide transportations, meal services, even like if someone needs assistance taking showers, they provide that. They have facilities to help with showering, even laundry services. I mean, it was pretty amazing, everything that they do. Let's see. In about 2 weeks, I have another presentation at a booth at the Siouxland Center for Active Generations on the 21st, at their health fair, to, you know, provide outreach and let folks know we're here and not a secret any longer. So I'm excited about that coming up. Kim talked earlier about Ross and the outreach enrichment program that he's managing out of the Omaha area, that he says he also can serve all of Iowa and Nebraska. I actually had an older client that had been closed maybe a year or two ago that was having some issues with paratransit and needed help with some advocacy. So they were connected and that worked out really well. His program helped him get what he was looking for. So made a referral there. March, I worked part of the independent living integration also. I worked in the home management area, which I don't think I've ever done before. And to be honest, is my favorite area. I have the most fun there, I think. So that went really well. I didn't have any of my clients in that particular integration time frame, but the one coming up in June, I have one of my clients going to that. So I think that's it. Any questions?
Thank you, Monica. I do want to do one small little follow-up because I don't know if this was addressed, but the topic of the Outlook enrichment that Ross is the program manager for, for the benefit of everyone that hears the podcast and who's on here today, that program is free. They only operate by donation only, and you, if nobody wants to donate, you don't have to. It's a free program. So they have a lot of great things going on. Some of the activities that they offer to anyone who signs up, you know, for their blind clients. I've seen things on there like, you want to go skiing? Come join us. You want to go bowling? Come join us. So they have a lot of different, you want to learn how to crochet? Come join us, you know. And then they also have, help me out here, Monica, don't they have a virtual support group?
Yeah, they do have a virtual support group. And I can't remember if it's Tuesday or Thursday nights, but it's one of the two. And it's around 6 or 7 in the evening. And it's all done virtually too, just like we're doing our meeting now. So anyone that would want to join on that, it's free as well. And I did see recently one of the emails that came out too, and one of their activities was they have tandem bikes. So they're doing some bike riding with some blind folks too.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they have Ross, he is just like full of ideas and really pulling this program together so that not only blind Iowans can participate, but Iowans in Nebraska and, you know, all just all over. So just wanted to put that out there. If you're interested in grabbing their telephone number, you know, reach out to one of the teachers or email me and we'll connect you. Thank you, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Julie, I think your audio is working now. Yes?
No, it isn't. I'm kidding.
You're trying to trick us.
Yes.
Do we have a little report that you'd like to share?
Yeah, sure. I'm Julie. I'm the independent living secretary. In addition to assisting Kim and our IL teachers, have been working on the new CMS case management system from the support staff perspective. Just, you know, going through and getting everything entered and processed and everything, and just trying to figure out how everything's supposed to work. Just doing a little bit of preparation for the next independent living integration. We're just kind of starting to get that going, and with everything going on this month, it's kind of an emergency. Well, not an emergency, but it's kind of something we need to get to. It's on my radar. So I'm also active in two committees here. One is the communications committee. I've been on that for about a year and a half, and well, almost 2 years actually. And then the employee recognition committee, which I've been on for about a year and a half, I think. So, and I'm sure there's more, but that's all I have written down.
Any questions for Julie? Okay. Hearing none, I'm opening it up for any questions, general questions anybody has for us. All right, hearing none doesn't mean that you won't have questions after we're offline here. Please always feel free to contact our director at any time, or feel free to contact me. Always know that our teachers are also available. We have cell phones, we have emails here. Remember, this is your program. These programs don't belong to us. They belong to you. You're the citizens. We want to do what's right for you to the best of our abilities within the budgetary scope that we're given. Please feel free to reach out to us and have conversations with us. We're here for you. We'll return your calls. We do hope to hear from you. The next meeting, I believe I need to make a correction from the last meeting time. I think I announced all of the quarterly IELTS forum meetings at a time that was sort of skewed a little bit from when our all staff meetings occurred. I could go ahead and hold them at that time, but it doesn't truly align very well for our teachers, because then it kind of messes up schedules to serve our clients, and we're really here more about trying to best serve our clients. And so in canvassing teachers and looking at the schedules, we're moving our August IELTS meeting to align better with when we have our division meeting on the 17th, and then on the 18th we have our all staff meeting. So we're moving the IELTS forum to Wednesday, August 16th at 1 o'clock. That's August 16th at 1 o'clock. So that'll go out. Anybody have a question about that? And then the next one I'll announce in August. When I have more time to look at the schedule, because there'll be a fourth and last quarter. All right. I want to thank everybody for your time. Thank you for joining us. I hope to see you back here in August. And again, feel free to contact us if you have any questions or concerns about anything. You all have a great rest of your day. Take good care.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.